Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, man, maybe they just ain't interested in your fashion sense, man. Maybe that's all it is to it.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with his fashion. I just think people are tired of Kanye.
Yeah, but they came to the concert. So you can't be tired of Kanye.
But it's not like it was a concert with multiple artists. It didn't sound like it was just Kanye concert. It sounded like Drake. Then the next day,
it was a festival.
It was a festival. So
he probably was the headliner. But
it would have been fine if he would have just did his music.
Nobody want to hear that no more.
No, man.
I mean, come on, for real. You come to, if I ain't got a rap, I ain't got a thing. But if you came to hear me do something, if I'm not doing that, you don't want
to
be there for whatever.
My money.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. I don't know how much them tickets cost, but I'm sure they weren't cheap. And I would not pay that money to come and hear Kanye speak. I want to hear Kanye rap. I want to hear you speak. You want to speak, you want to give me a speech, you want to tell me something, then have set up that type of forum. And if I choose to come and listen to you talk, then that's what's
then
up.
Then I don't got to raise the boot.
Right, exactly.
But if I paid my money on this ticket to hear you rap, then that's what I want to hear. And I'm going to boo your ass.
You're right.
I'm going to boo you off the stage.
That's what it is. Come on, you.
Yeah, come on. Let's get it together. Come on. You know
come back to College Dropout.
Yes. That's my dog now. College Dropout through the wire. What's the one I call it? College Graduate?
Yeah.
Both of them. After that, with that, we'll close out the end of the note with our last topic. As always, we like to clean up, finish out on a good note. Judge approves NFL concussion settlement. A federal judge granted preliminary approval to a landmark deal that would compensate thousands of former NFL players for concussion-related claims. The settlement is designed to last at least 65 years and give $1 million or more to retirees who develop Lou Gehrig's disease and other profound neurological problems.
Really?
Yeah.
Million plus.
Whoa.
So that means the minimum.
The minimum.
Each one is getting a million.
Whoa. I guess it goes by the severity of the.
Yeah.
Right.
It says more than 4,500 former players, 4,500, have filed suit, some accusing the NFL of fraud for its handling of concussions. They include former Dallas Cowboys running back Tony Dorsett and Super Bowl winning champ Chicago Bears quarterback Jim McMahon, who suffers from dementia.
You're talking about at least $4 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least.
$400
$1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000 million. Come on. $4 billion. That they talking about paying out for these people. At least.
At least. And that's 1 year. Then they got to ask for 65. And you know, when I was reading it, it was some people upset because they were like, that's still ain't enough.
I would tend to agree. Like, can $1 million compensate? Well, before I go that route, I did have a choice. They didn't force me to play football. They didn't force me to suit up. They didn't force me to take the hits. They didn't force me to do none of this. They didn't.
But you know, the suits are more in line with the mishandling of their concussion. So it's saying more like they was misdiagnosed and mistold what their situation really was, and they continued to play when they probably should. So that's why the NFL is liable. Because if not, like you said, if I just suit it up, you know what comes. That's why I'm
complicated. But even at that, if you play basketball and you fail, you went up for a dunk, fail, and you got a concussion. Yeah, okay, you can come back, but you don't feel like you should come back. You're coming back. The choice is still yours. Now, I understand that. I understand.
Yeah, but the liability is not allowed on you because you gave me to go again. You don't make the choice. The liability, if I go without what you're telling me, yeah, I don't end you.
But I'm saying, I mean, athletes are going to say no. The majority of athletes are going to be, you can play, I'm going to play.
So you're taking that. You know what I mean? Like, that's you taking on the initiative to do what you want to do, no matter how you get it.
I look at it differently.
No, that's not about telling you to go do something and he
know
you can't do it.
Now, if the doctor said, okay, you go play, but I don't think you should, then you got a point. But if the doctor is clear to me, oh, you can go play.
And I'm getting hurt?
If I break my leg, the doctor couldn't really go back and do whatever it is, but I feel as though I'm not ready to go back. Or I'm not trusting that. That's my decision. That's your decision. Yeah, so that's all I'm saying. It's still, ultimately, the decision is yours. They clear you. But you can say, I ain't ready.
Yeah, but when it comes down to me getting hurt, you said, yeah, as far as lawsuits.
I am inclined to believe, or you watched it, that if your leg was broken, on time on a high field, but you get back out there and play, you're going to get back to play.
Sure, it don't know about it. But, that's my choice. Whatever happens from my choice, I have to accept.
So I feel
not
like
you, so you feel like that anyway. That's anyway, if the doctor outright tells you, yeah, and later on you find out he's wrong and you shouldn't have never been playing.
Shouldn't have never played.
I get what you're saying. All I'm trying to say, okay, it's a fair compensation. The NFL is saying we take some
responsibility for it, right?
So I'll leave it at that. We got into the argument of was that enough? Being that they're taking some of the responsibility, you have to take some of the responsibility. Yes, I feel like
okay.
That.
Okay, makes sense. I totally agree with that.
I got you.
These men, these are gladiators. These are warriors.
Hey,
this is what we do. We've been doing this all our life, basically.
So when you take an injury because of what you do, who's to take responsibility for that?
The injury comes with it. That's why they have doctors and physicians in place, so that when if the injury is that serious, then hey, I know you want to play.
Right.
But you should not play.
So we do agree that there's shared responsibility.
It's definitely shared responsibility.
Okay. So with that, I'm cool with it.
The same way I'm liable for myself, own responsibility if I go out and get him liable. He's liable if he tell me and I take his judgment to be true and I find out later it was wrong.
That's why you paid out $1 million.
Right, right.
And I get
it. Because they say it was mishandling of it.
Yeah.
So that means it wasn't that the doctors told him not to go out and all of them decided to. At some point, they weren't telling him how serious it was. Mm-hmm. And later on, it showed.
They downplayed it. They wanted them on the NFL, wanted them on the field.
Money machine.
The team wanted them on the field. Man, you all right? You just blurry. Yeah. Follow my finger. You all right?
Yeah.
Get back out there.
Take this shot. You won't feel
you good.
Whatever you see, hit it.
Hit the one in the middle.
Yeah.
Hit three of them, hit the one in the middle.
Ain't a man. Ain't a man. That sounds like somebody didn't say it, though.
Yeah.
At one point or another.
Well, that guy closed out our end of note for today. As always, it was a joy doing it. Kanye, my boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. That thing tickled me. That's why I throw it in the door. Man, just sit down somewhere. If you ain't gonna sing and rap, just sit down.
Hey, can I want to throw a last minute in the knowing now.
Go ahead.
And you may not have a whole lot to say about this, but you might. Your boy Apollo.
Yeah.
From, what is it?
Housewives of Atlanta.
Since, what, 8 years?
Since 8 years. Yesterday?
Yeah.
I think it was yesterday.
8 years for
the blue card.
For fraud and...
Oh, yeah. It was in the know a while back.
All right. How you feel about that?
I knew he was going to get some time. The other dude who told on him got like 7 years, I think. So I knew he was going to do some time. When I read the article, Apollo was in prison from 2003 to 2009. Him and Phaedra got married after 2009 and 2010. His charges go from 2009 to 2013.
The current
charges. Yes. She got exactly what she got.
Yeah.
But this ain't even about her, though.
But when it comes down to it, what we see is what he's always been.
I mean, it ain't about her, but it is. I mean, that's his wife, and don't they got kids?
Yeah, two boys. Two. I think both of them under five or six.
The only one maybe five. I'm inclined to believe she knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah, they
and she prospered from it. She's still prospering from it. She wouldn't be on Atlanta Housewives of Atlanta if she ain't had that money.
But you know she's a lawyer too.
She got her own money, but
he said, now you remember I said in the note, he said a lot of the reason why he was doing what he was doing was to keep up with the lifestyle that she had. It was more him trying to keep up with her from what he did.
Yeah.
Sorry for you. See you in eight.
Keep up now.
See you in eight.
Eight and the children that young. I'm excited in some ways, not because he's going to jail, but just to see how it plays out as far as on the show as a watcher. Because I think now, I shouldn't say excited. I'm interested.
What does that say about our culture, man? We excited to see how this man doing 8 years.
Because I'm agreeing with
you. I'm interested to see where the show goes.
Right.
Seeing that he got his sentence. I'm sorry.
Yep, I ain't gonna touch it. Goodbye.
I'm totally sorry, but that's how I feel.
You told the truth.
And
I
then,
was just waiting to see what you was excited about.
Yeah, excited was the wrong word. Interested. But once you put yourself out there, that's why I always say, as much as I wouldn't mind doing a reality show, I couldn't. Because at the end of the day, when it comes back to it, now, you know what, I take that back. Because we sat here and we talked about it before. And if you look at certain shows, if you handle it in a certain manner, you'd be okay with it.
I was just about to say to you, you want a reality show anyway, because you have people who are watching.
Yeah.
You have people
yeah.
who look up to you.
Yeah.
So whatever you do, you can put yourself on the level, you just not as widely known as he
yeah.
is.
The only difference is you ain't got no camera crew following you.
That's
right.
it.
Yeah.
Not that you nobody. Not that any of us nobody. That's what I'm saying.
Right, right.
Right.
And then, I mean, and on top of that, you know, I'm not out in it. Getting into a lot of crazy stuff, and when we hang out, it ain't a big fallout and somebody getting mad. So it is what it is. I mean, that it just come back to be it is what it is. But I will say I am interested to see how the show play out. Sorry, I'm interested,
yeah.
not excited, interested to see how the show plays out.
I want to say, me personally, I want to see a contradiction to what's on TV about black people. I want to see you put some people on TV who are successful and who know what to do with their success.
You do. I like T.I. Family Hustle. For the most part, he gives a good rendition of what ideally a stable a household would be with somebody with money.
You talking about the same man who's just fighting in Vegas?
I said the show.
I'm talking about the whole thing. Like, that's all part of you. Now, T.I.'s my man. We all know that. But where I'm going is bring back some people who you ain't. You
but
can't
I don't have a problem with that because I might get in a fight outside of. Stuff happens.
It does.
Stuff happens. I mean, but what I see him leaving his house,
that's
where it matters. You might get into anything.
That's
reality.
That involves that man's wife. If you're not going to fight your wife, and you're not gonna fight over anything. I don't care if Mayweather, Mike Tyson. Well,
you understand.
Maybe not Mike Tyson.
Mayweather
is probably right. Probably not Mayweather. But I'm gonna say something.
From the information we have, who was wrong? Who was wrong in that scenario?
She was, if you ask me.
So what you fighting for? What are you fighting for?
I get that. I get what you're saying, and the way to handle that probably wouldn't be leaving alone. But that ego kicks in. That's still your wife.
Yeah.
And it's playing out on a big stage. And this tip we talking about.
Okay, we got to remember,
I say what he doing is high.
Family hustle is one thing, but you got to remember where he from. And you said something, you want to see that. Only way we would see that is from a celebrity that is known. Because other than that, you take people like that are on Love and Hip Hop and Housewives. We ain't going to watch them. Who are you? You're not going to watch that. Ain't nobody going to watch that.
So it's more about the name than it is the concept.
I'm more inclined to watch a stranger act a fool than I am to watch a stranger do right on TV. I can sit in the mirror and watch myself do right. I can go in one of y'all house and see y'all do right. I don't want to sit in front of a TV to see that.
Sure.
Well, on that note.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out. No, it was a good point.
Also, too, finishing today, former mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, sentenced to 10 years today.
For what?
Corruption while he was in, taking bribes, contract.
Here we go. See, I thought we were getting out of the end of those.
All that stuff. But, you know, Ray Nagin was the one who made the speech in, after Katrina was calling out FEMA and all that. And he was really monumental in the movement of the whole FEMA thing when Katrina was broke down. But after he got reelected, a lot of things went downhill in the second election. A lot of people said it came from him getting a big head of the popularity of Katrina.
Is he the only one? Do not all politicians do the same thing, man? Like, why are you punishing this man for what's a norm in political life?
Hey, he got caught.
Yeah, he's gonna make an example.
He got caught.
Every now and then.
Plain and simple, he got caught. You don't get caught, then he's like everybody else that's a politician that's doing the same thing that he got caught doing. He got caught.
Wow.
And they gotta show somebody they doing something. So at the end of the day, if I can put Ray Nagin name next to, we can victim him for Blue Collar Crime. Mm-hmm. We are coming down on Blue Collar Crime. He's not above it. It's the same thing happened with Martha Stewart.
Made an example.
Yeah, it was about an example. Martha Stewart, the average person does all the time.
Martha Stewart went to prison and got more popular.
And thank you. Made more money.
That don't mean she wanted to go to prison, though.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
What did your system prove? She came out better than she went in.
But at that point, I get what you're saying, but at that point, they thought they were making a statement. We took down Martha Stewart. We'll take down anyone.
I don't know, man. This whole thing is...
But I guess.
It is what it is. Where are we going? What are we doing?
We're going to close that up because in the know, boy, that thing was good today.
Let's
close it up, moving into the show. It's a TOAB show today. So with that, you know who's showing up. Socially Dad, a cup of tea, and the Bone Chilling Truth. So we'll kick this thing off. We're going to keep the regular rotation. Y'all want to keep the same rotation? You want to change it up? Do what you do, baby. Socially Dad as an instant bill.
Go ahead.
Are you ready, Social Media?
I ain't gonna get no ready in this.
What you gonna say, homeboy?
No, I was gonna ask a question, but go ahead.
Okay. Social Media.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take it easy on you, cause I'm inclined to believe my homeboy got something for you.
Yeah, he do. You already know.
I would like to know the disadvantages, the advantages, and the disadvantages for a person that decides to go to see a therapist.
Mm.
I personally feel like there are going to be advantages and disadvantages for a lot of situations you put yourself into. I would like to know, what are some of those advantages and disadvantages?
You know what? And as a therapist, I'm not going to give you a disadvantage. Figure that, but I just can't find one. I can give you. I'm going to give you the best advantage that I can point out. At the end of the day, is the resources and the theories and the therapy is there for all of us if we need it. Now, everybody doesn't need it, but I don't need $2.
You can benefit from
it. But if I got 20, but if you give me 2, I'm benefiting.
Right.
So it's always a benefit to the therapy side of it because, granted, you have to have a committed therapist, somebody really care about you in the end for it, because you can't, and this is a disadvantage. Then I take that back. This is a disadvantage. Because you can get a therapist that's only in it for the money. And when I say about the money, it's not so much to see you for money. I guess it is. If as a therapist, I can diagnose in certain different levels and get and charge it to the insurance company and get more pay. So if a child comes in and says, the child may just be a hyperactive kid at 6 or 7 years old. We all seen it. We all was.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, growing up. There was no ADHD and all that where they come up with all these diagnoses. But
set yourself down somewhere.
Right. That's what it was. And that's what you did. You know what I mean? It's just that implement. But nowadays, if you come in and I see your child overactive as a therapist, and I see, basically, I can give a diagnosis of ADHD.
So you said it ain't so much about the doping them up part, is the...
Yeah, because it's not so much the doping them up. It's more the title. Because this, like, kids go in classes, they have, like, it's a paper trail that follows.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, ultimately. You know what I'm saying? Like, now when I see this kid as a counselor in a school system, ADHD, that tag red light right there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this may have been 6 years old where I gave him this diagnosis just to make more money as a therapist, and the kid just as high as a kid. Now he's passed all that. But
it's still following.
Right. But this counselor is looking at him like, okay, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Now you may handle the child differently than you were handling him with no diagnosis. So that's a disadvantage. That's a total disadvantage. You see it happening a lot. And what happens in it is most of the time as parents, especially taking kids, and this happens also too to adults. I mean, because if I can give you a personality disorder, which is an axis 2, over axis 1, which would be like substance abuse or something like that, but I can give you borderline personality disorder, I'm going to give you borderline personality disorder if I'm a more unethical therapist, because I get more money out of that. Then I can give you prescriptions. Then I can give you a psych eval. You know what I mean? Then I can refer you to a psychiatrist. So it's kind of like a chain reaction. This is the bad side of therapy and the clinical and social work side. But the truth of the matter is, all the best advantage of it is, like I said, if I give you $2 and you got 20, you got $22 now. You benefit. So if you go to a therapist, and the therapist is ethically right, and he's all about business, and want to make sure he's doing what's best for the client, do no harm, you win it.
Yeah.
Now, everybody don't need that. You know what I'm saying? But when I say that, I mean therapy as in going to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a clinical social. I think everybody has to sit down and talk with someone. And in an overall mass, that's what therapy is, talking your issues out in a group set. That's all it is.
Not the question, I'm going to add to my question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist?
A psychiatrist is, he's more with drugs. So, if somebody has schizophrenic or paranoid, some kind of disorder that is, you see it mentally and you can't change it through therapy or cognitive behavior training or anything like that, it's basically you got to get the medication. has to go to a psychiatrist because the psychiatrist has an MD, which is more medical. A psychologist is not too much different from a clinical social worker because basically they work on theory, therapy, and behaviors. More behavior, which the clinical social worker side needs more theory, therapy, relaxation, stuff like that. Well, the psychologist will have more of a behavior side. So it makes it go more into, like, where our theories are more based off of, like, the stages of Erickson, like the stages of life. Psychologist is more fraud. Like, you know, okay, your behavior is that way because of such and such. Social work is more, I'm gonna give you the tools you need to fix yourself. If I cannot, then maybe you need to sit down and talk with him because maybe he can work, the psychologist can work something out and get the understanding of your behavior act.
Okay.
If he can't do it, he goes to your psychiatrist so they can give you some medications for what's going on with you because they know the chemical balance and how it works. But psychologists and psychiatrists are doctors because you get a PhD for psychology. And psychiatrist is an MD, basically. So it's more like it's just a medical doctor, but they understand the brain, how the brain works.
So one can prescribe you medicine and basically the other one.
The other one can, yeah. And I'm not too sure if psychologists can or not. No, they can't. I know they can. I know they can from my own experience because when I first came back from Iraq, I had a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and a social worker. The social worker took care of all my needs, anywhere I need to go. Resources. Basically, if you need to get from here to there, I'll make sure you have a ride. I'll make sure you got all the understanding of where you're going and what you need to do. Here's the paperwork. You need to fill this out. That's social work. This is just a regular social, not clinical. This is a regular social. Because I had a psychologist, because you don't really need a clinical social worker. Psychologists and clinical social workers really the same. Basically. But a psychologist, I had him, and I sat down and talked to him. You know, he wanted to know if I was sleeping, how was I, you know, and was my sleeping behavior different than it was before. And so he was like, you know what, a psychologist can't give you drugs. Because I believe he prescribed me drugs without sending me to the psychiatrist. Then when I went to the psychiatrist, all he wanted to know was, is the medication. And then he said to me, is there anything you need to talk about? And that was it for him.
So,
but they all have a great impact on building a person back. Because even, I always say this, and I tell people this all the time, I can go to school and get a degree in anything. But if your passion and your drive really ain't there for it, at some point, you're not going to fail it. You're really not. You just got to have a love for whatever you're doing at the end of the day. And the book smart help. Because in certain situations you run into, you'd be like, oh, okay, I can imply this. But really, in social work, in dealing with people, period, it's on the spot. I don't care how many years I went to school and learned, if they do this, they do that. Ain't nobody going to do what the book said anyway. You don't know what you're going to be hit with in that moment. I was just saying in class the other day, and I know I'm going a long winded on this, but I was just saying in class the other day, I'm going to close it up. And then this girl was talking, she was explaining something that happened to her that day on the job. And she thought the patient she went to see was at a suicidal state. And when she went in, she said the first thing she said was, oh, no, I ain't ready for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And in that moment, I heard her say it, and I was like, wow, that's how I feel, and I ain't walking into it yet. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you understand, no matter how much you be prepared and you told where you need to be, until you in that moment, how you react, you'll never know. But you have to. The book, the school, it gets you there. But it's all about this instinct.
That hit home. Not I'm gonna say hit home, but struck a chord. You literally, this person is having suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job to fix them.
Yeah.
Basically, make them unsuicidal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of pressure. This person can kill themselves any day.
And that's why I say you got to love what you're doing. Because if you don't care about people and somebody tell you that, and you give a shit about what you're doing. Just think about it. That's a person's life that's in your hand. So you gotta really know. You can't go in there like you can go in there whatever's going on in your life, outside your life. And I think that's why I relate to it so much, because it reminds me of the military so much, because you have to transform. And then you transform so much to, I'm at a point now where I don't ever want to turn off being a therapist. And it gets me in trouble. But at the same time, I think to really hone my craft, I need to. I really need to, because then in that moment, I'm always ready. I'm always ready. And that goes back to the military mindset. That's why I say the Air Force should be putting their hands in their pockets. You just always need to be ready. Especially in those kind of lines of business. You're dealing with people anyway. I mean, even for you, Bowen, you know what I mean? In a supervision position, you don't know what you're going to encounter.
Right.
And if you come to work one day, you're just saying, man, I don't care about no work. You know, that don't mean everybody else there ain't got problems that you may have to handle. And you find yourself transforming without even knowing it, handling their problems. You know what I'm saying? But that's because it's instinctive.
I call myself a psychiatrist. I didn't know it was two different things. But I consider myself to be that, because regardless of what I'm going through, I have to be able to help my employee if they're going through stuff.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? They having some issues at home. We have stuff that I could direct them to that can help them out in their life. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that.
That's for sure.
That's for sure. I know I hogged up a lot of time.
Hey, do you think?
No, I did that. I'm sorry. I'm a lady. That's what I do. I love
socially that.
Hey, that's what I do, man. What you got for me, dude?
Socially dead. Socially dead. Socially dead. I'm not going to come at you from a educational standpoint. I'm not going to come at you from a medical standpoint. I'm going to come at you just like this. How important? Quite simple. How important is having a social life?
Not my person. I'm gonna answer that question. I'm gonna answer the professional first. Even as social workers, and as especially in the field of medical and dealing with other individuals, the first thing we are taught is self-care. So, and with self-care, I mean, don't overwork yourself, don't burn yourself out. Because the truth of the matter is, if I got a kid that's really going through something, and I've really been dealing with this kid for a long time, 9 times out of 10, everywhere I go and everything I do, I take that kid in my memory with me. You know what I'm saying? It never leaves. So imagine having 64 cases and 62 of them is these kind of kids. So you can overwork yourself and find yourself not having no life because you're so caught up in your job. So the first thing I always told is, like, if you ever feel like, or it's just beneficial to plan at least a weekend out of the month, to just go on vacation, do something, just spend time, and then come back. Because if you burn yourself out, you're not doing your clients any good. Which I said earlier, like, if I don't care and I'm not really here, I can't deal with this patient that's having suicidal thoughts today. Because I'm overworked and I ain't took time to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Now, that's from a professional standpoint. From a personal standpoint, I'm probably the first person to say it was a long time, especially after I came back from Iraq. I didn't think a social life was really important. Didn't care to have one. Still find myself sometimes getting caught up going back. And what I realized is I had missed out on so much. And it wasn't because I felt like I had to not have a social life. It was more because I just felt comfortable being by myself. And inside of getting out of being uncomfortable and going into those situations where I was uncomfortable, I realized, hey, this ain't all that bad. You know what I'm saying? These people really like being with me. I like being with them too. Oh, well, I ain't got to sit in the house by myself this time. Or, oh, well, I still have the option to sit in the house by myself, but I have this other option. So For me, not this point of my life, which I'm saying probably a couple of years ago, and maybe next week I may change again. I'm just being honest. I go back and forth because I really like spending time like that. I really do. It's just something for me, and it may come from me being an only child. I don't know. I just like being in my own environment, dealing with Derek, just by himself, no interruptions needed. But in understanding that, I understand I get a lot more out of myself when I'm around other people. And I learn more about myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I would never know. And I take this back. And this is probably very personal. But I take this back when I was drinking. I always knew I was the center of attention because I made myself when I was drinking. When I got sober, my first fear, and it was fear at that time, my first fear became, ain't nobody gonna like me. Because I always knew I wanted to be myself, and I was a inward kind of person. So I felt like now that I'm sober, I'm not going to have that to give me that outwardism anymore. And the first time I was with them, I was in a group setting with people, and I was totally sober. And I realized after the conversation or inside the conversation that I was sending attention once again. And then that's when it came to me. It wasn't the alcohol making you the center of attention. You always been the person to be the center of attention. You just was fooled to think that. So now I look at it and realize, like, I can go either way. I just like being with myself. But socially, I'm better when I'm around people because it shows me things about myself, i.e. what that example I just gave that I didn't even realize for myself. Like, if I stay to myself all the time, how I'm going to know I'm funny to other people? How I'm going to know the attributes I can bring to any situation. So that's the thing that gets me out of it. So socially, yeah, I think it's important to have a social life. I think it is. I think with all good things, you can overindulge.
Moderation.
Yeah, you have to do it. You have to find a balance. For me, my balance was tilted more to be by myself, which wasn't good either. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times you see the opposite, overly social. You know what I'm saying? And that's deadly because when you come, you never know yourself. And that was me. That's why I say, like, when I was drinking, that was me. I was overly social. I won't even say that. I was in la-la land, but we were put social on it. We were put social on it, but I was just in my own little world. You know what I'm saying? And it became so much, it was too much of it. So I lost myself. So it's a balance. What you think? What y'all think? Do you think you need like a social life? I know I turned around on y'all, but
I would say I'm probably in the transition. At one point I felt like once I gained responsibility of other people's well-being, being social or having a social life was non-existent. As I get older, I started to realize I need an outlet too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can do for people all day long, but eventually it's going to start affecting you if you don't do for yourself. You know what I mean? So I'm one of those people too. I tend to take my time for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't an only child, but I was a baby. I was the baby of our family. So, you know, the only boy, two older sisters, you know, about 5 years in between us all. So I was used to playing by myself. Mm-hmm. I was used to being alone. So I have no problem with it. I don't club. You know, I got all that out of my system. The clubbing and the hanging out and all that, that's all out of my system. But I don't mind, you know, chilling. I am a video game by myself or doing nothing. Reading, Soldier Thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Reading
the book. Writing the poem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Listening to music. I feel like that is necessary.
Is that considered a social life?
I'm social with myself.
I mean, that's just taking time for self, but is that a social life?
It's something other than
your responsibility.
Your responsibility. in my everyday routine. It's something other than that. So I consider that to be social. Social with myself.
Good enough.
He probably shortened himself because I think socially you interact with your family, y'all go out and do things, though, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Even in that, that's a social. Like, I was at one point, I didn't want to go out and do nothing. When I came back from Iraq, I was content just being in the house. I felt like I had a TV where I'm going to a sports bar. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you still say that.
Yeah, I do. I do. That's why I say I go back and forth. It's hard for me because I really feel like sometimes, as much as I come off as I am a people person. I am. I will say that. But internally, sometimes I just want to be myself. And I know it goes back to being by myself as a little child because I felt comfort being by myself. And I learned, I taught myself to be comfortable being by myself. That's what happened. So now it's hard to unteach what I've become accustomed to. Because more than anything, I shouldn't be comfortable by myself. I shouldn't. You got people around you who love you, so you should be interacting. But I learned how to just go into myself, and now it's hard sometimes coming out
of it. I feel you on that.
Yeah.
I struggle with that myself.
That was a good question. Yeah, it sure was. It was. It made me go inside myself. Yeah, that's what I like now. I like that. Well, since you put me on the hot seat, now you're on the hot seat, see? It comes to a cup of tea now.
You
go into a cup of tea.
You got a cup of hot tea.
A cup of hot tea, then. Bone, you going to hit it first? You going to hit it?
Yeah, I mean, hey. All right. We'll keep the rotation.
You got it, then.
Well, you hit me, y'all hear that, right?
Yeah, yeah, I hit you.
Start hitting
back,
y'all know what's
going
on.
Get it like we told you, get it.
Okay, a cup of tea. This is a, I'm going to do like you did that. I'm just going to put it out there. Can someone love more than one person?
Absolutely.
In a relationship, you mean? Or do you mean just genuine?
I don't need clarification.
Okay.
It ain't my question.
I ain't want to give none.
See, social dad getting in somebody else's business.
This is genuine.
He's social.
Yes, I think you can love more than one person. I think you are meant to love more than one person. There's a difference in loving more than one person and committing to more than one person. I can love you for many different reasons, and my love may draw different actions. A love on one side may mean I don't ever want to see no harm to you, and whatever I could do for you, I'll do for you, but that doesn't mean that I'm physically attracted to you. Whereas a love on the other side encompasses all. So yeah, I think you can love more than one person. The problem with loving more than one person is the conflict that it creates in you. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that understanding of love and what's required and expected from love, then it can be damaging to try to love or to have love for more than one person. Just from my opinion. But I think it's absolutely possible and almost inevitable once you pass a certain age, unless you've been with one person all your life, you don't know nobody else. I think you can.
So is it safe to say that there are different variations of love, or is just love love?
I think love is what it is. But it's up to me what I do with it.
Good question.
You know what I mean?
I
can love you and I may want to go that route with you, but I'm already committed over here. So because I love over here and I committed over here, I can't commit over there too. So I can't do anything else over there. I can't play with nothing else over there. I just have to accept the fact that love is there, and I need to take that and let it be what it is. What I can do for you that won't cause a conflict over here, I'll do. How you know it's love is if I can let who I'm committed to know I still have love over here, but I'm committed over here. Now, if you can't respect that,
That is a serious dose of communication.
It's love. I love you enough that no matter what else is available, I don't want to lose you. By me lying to you about that, I'm risking losing you. So I'm going to be honest with you. Hopefully you can respect. I'm here. This is what I'm telling you. I love over there. But I left over there. Over here.
Wait. Yeah, I love love. I'm infatuated with love, but I don't know if I want that much.
Why?
It's the flesh in me, man. Because the truth of the matter is, out of respect, it's a beautiful thing for somebody to be that open with you. That love.
Think about what you do for over here when she sees over there and know that he still loves her, but I know he loves her, but I know where he at. I'm not worried. He's telling me everything else. Why are you going to lie about anything? We can all have a mutual respect for each other. She ain't got nothing to do with her. And you ain't got nothing to do with her. I have something to do with both of y'all. I made a choice. Y'all ain't got to fall out for my choice. At the same time, I ain't got to fall out with over here about my choice. I explained my choice. You can't accept my choice. Then did you really love me?
I get it, but I don't need it.
I feel you, but that is a volatile situation.
Yes.
It's volatile when you hide it.
I mean, it's volatile because it's not just you. Now, you can love here and there all day long, but when you involve in,
switch the role. Let's say you are in the middle. No. Let's take you out of the middle. You standing on the right side. Mm-hmm. Old boy on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
She in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But she went with the right side. You know she's with the right side. But she told you, yeah, I love him. You know what I mean? Like, we were together. We had some. I love him. That probably ain't going to ever change, but I chose you.
Ooh. Well, I don't know how that conversation would go.
No, come on, man. Let's be honest. Do you think that, okay, here we go.
Let's go.
Do you think that, and I'm struggling to say this, but I'm going to say
it.
Either one of y'all, wives, has never had a relationship where she's loved the person she was with. Do you think that love changed because she's not with you? That love disappears? Possibly, but maybe not.
Now, I'm gonna be completely honest with you, homeboy. I'm gonna be completely honest with you.
You asked the question. I didn't mean to do this.
She could love bro all day, but she better not tell me.
She can't tell you that she loves him?
Nah, I don't want to hear that. Homeboy, Doobie, I'm pulling one of you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear. I can accept it within myself if I'm bright enough to understand that and I see it. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. They were in a relationship before. Of course they have feelings for each other. Of course, if they loved each other while they was in that relationship, I'm pretty sure some remnant of that love is still there. I don't want to hear it.
So check this out. Does trust matter in your marriage and your relationship?
Yeah.
So why force her to lie to you?
She got a lot of me. I ain't gonna ask her.
If you run into dude, you never know where you might run into somebody. Yeah, you never know where anything.
I don't care where I see him. I don't care where
she really?
I would never ask her that question.
No, that's
some things I don't need to know.
Yeah.
I don't know
if that's a good thing. And we might have to go back to Socially Bad for this to see if that's a healthy mindset. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I can know it in my head all day long.
Here we go.
I don't want to hear it. Yeah, here we go.
I thought we were going to ease off of me today.
No, we had to go in.
So what I'm hearing, and around my way, we're going to be honest with each other sitting there. there's a level of insecurity there.
Possibly so. No, I know possibly. Probably, yeah.
Then you go.
Yeah. And my insecurities don't want to hear that.
But you know what? The fact that you just said that is the first thing you get over that.
Yeah.
The fact that you could just say to me, yes, there's some insecurities in my relationship, and you know you're not just talking to me, like whoever else might be listening.
Yeah.
You want to, man, listen, let it be what it is. She's with you. That's all that needs to
happen. And that's the mindset that I take. That's why I don't want to hear nothing about it. Because it is what it is. We together. I can know that in my head all day long, but I don't want to have to deal with it.
I'm not saying that you should openly, you should just brag and nothing, but I'm saying it because you asked the question as though, well, you asked the question and I answered it. Yes, mm-hmm. It's possible. So now we brought it to a real life scenario, a real life situation.
Yeah,
I don't think you should just volunteer that information like mm-hmm. out of the blue because I come home after a day of work and you do my, I love this person over here. Wait a minute, how you get on your mind first? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why are we talking about
it? Where this come from? But now if the situation presents itself and the question is asked, then be honest about it. That's all I'm saying.
I get that too, but yeah. I never asked.
I wouldn't ask.
Because what was before
that
me?
That don't mean that you won't get asked.
I understand that,
yeah,
too.
I totally agree.
Being a dude, I ain't going to ask that question. I'm not finna.
Yes, but you may have to answer it is all I'm
saying. And you know why I ain't going to ask too? I'm glad you said that. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm glad you said that. You know why I ain't going to ask you all this stuff about that movie? It's because I don't want you to ask.
Now, we all know that doesn't mean that you're not going to be asked.
Exactly.
Right.
But the chances are pretty good, even better, that, you know, you're not going to get asked as long as you don't bring it up.
Don't ask, don't tell. That's the policy we're going to
do. Yeah.
It works.
What you know, though, I think like this. We all have a thing. Once we say we do and I do before God, it starts that day. I think at that point, even what we may have went through in our relationship before we got married, should at some point, it should be a closure on that day, and we start brand new.
No, sir, I disagree with you.
Why you say that?
Nothing brings closure other than closure. Time don't bring closure. Take time away from a situation and think you over it and never realize it until you find yourself close to that situation again. I never got over this. So what I'm in a roundabout way, what I'm saying is, for me personally, it would do a lot. Now I'm not saying I wouldn't ask the question, but I'm not saying I would. I probably would. I would probably lean more to asking the question because it lets me know who I'm dealing with. If you open and honest enough to tell me that, then ain't that why? What reason do I have not to trust you right now? At this point,
I get it. I understand that, but I think I do okay trusting you not.
Yeah. Why would you want to open that can of worms? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Hey, it's not about opening cans. Shows up on the shelf. I want to know what the can is.
I ain't disagreeing with you on your standpoint because I think it's a great standpoint. I just, like you said, it may be. It is insecurity, somewhat.
It is.
And at the end of the day, that's how I deal with it. That's my defense mechanism.
And I'm surprised because I would have figured I was the most insecure person in this room.
When it comes to that for me, and I have to admit to the insecurity in it because why else would I want to know? I just don't care about before me. I'm here now. I'm not all that matters.
I get that part. That's,
because
that's
if we really go into this, you probably don't want to know about me either.
So then don't ask. Nobody asked it.
Right. I definitely,
I'm just talking about if the question presents itself.
Now the question comes up. Boy, you got it. Let it go now.
Let the record show I did not do this. Okay.
I did it.
If the question comes up, from the standpoint of what you're saying, dog, and off the fact that I wholeheartedly believe that my wife loves me enough, I would be honest with
you. You have to. That's your wife.
No matter how much I'm in that moment, I may realize you really don't want to know this to that extent. I have to be, because if I wholeheartedly trust you, I have to display that by my actions, by being it.
Believe it or not, there are some people out there that is crazy as me who would take that, what some might see as negative or what some might see as unnecessary information,
yeah,
and it may do something totally different for their trust.
Right.
It may seem like it may take you to a place you really don't want to go to, but on the other side of that, you ain't got to worry about me asking you no more questions. As long as you don't give me a reason, I ain't got to ask you. Don't give me no reason. Now we live by don't ask, don't tell. We already did it. Now we good. When I see him, okay, cool. I already know what it is.
And see, I can live by that without asking the question. I see, and I already know.
Okay.
I don't have that.
Entertain me for a second. Be honest with me for one second. If the mere thought of knowing the truth about this guy turns you to the point where I just don't want to know, I'm good with women. Somewhere in you, be honest,
yeah.
Somewhere in you, you already questioned how she feels about this guy, because I don't even really want the answer.
Oh, you already know. For me, I already know. I don't need any confirmation. I don't need to ask the question.
So there you go. You already know. You don't need to
so,
hear.
Exactly. So that's why I already need to hear. I want to ask, because I already know.
And it is
like insecurity.
And like you say, it's already beat me up enough. Me knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You to say it to me is going to devastate.
Yeah.
The only reason you know is because she didn't tell you.
Right.
She may not have told you verbally, but she didn't tell you. That's the only reason you know that. You don't know. How else would you know? Something about something that has happened has told you she still loves it. That's okay. She's with me. I ain't asking. I don't want to dig. Don't bring it up because I don't want to
know.
We'll just move on.
This question. And I did not expect to get all of this.
Yeah, this is a good question.
This question makes me realize how insecure men are.
Mm-hmm.
We are very insecure creatures. We put up a hard front, but we are insecure as hell.
Where do you think the protection aspect and the possession aspect and all of that comes into play? The provider and all of that comes from a level of insecurity. I'm going to take care of mine because I can't stand nobody. The thought of nobody else doing it.
Mm.
Mm. I'm going to claim mine. I'm going to put my name on mine. Some kind of way, I'm going to pee on this tree to let you know this is my tree. Because I can't stand the fact that nobody else getting close to my tree. All of that comes from you get positive reactions from a negative thought. Now, put that together.
Mm. Fear.
It's powerful.
It is.
But even more powerful than that is love. So conquer the fear. Get over the fact of the possibility of somebody else maybe doing what they could possibly do one day when the sun crossed the moon and all. Realize, I'm here doing it right now. This is mine. This is in front of me.
Be insecure. Know it. Don't know it. Whatever. Do what you're supposed to do. You ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
However it plays out, you walk away okay with it.
You're okay with it
because you did what you
did what you were supposed to do.
Good point. That's a good point. And I think when you look at it from both of them standpoints, especially yours, Court, when you look at it from the fact that if I love you enough to tell you this, and ultimately I trust enough if you can tell me I accept it, because that's the only reason I'd be able to tell you.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's love.
That's all it is.
And why should I be mad? Because I might feel the same way myself, and I want you to understand. Nine times out of ten, we really honest about this as men. The reason we're not asking the question is because we don't want to get an answer to the question. We don't want to answer the question in return. It's probably because we don't want to get an answer we're going to have to get. So if that's the case, if you love me and I love you, and I'm here doing what I'm supposed to do, as you said, bro.
Why does the conversation matter?
That don't even matter.
Why does it matter?
We can have it, and I would be like, yeah, I get that, because I'm in the same point that you at. And that's okay. You know I love you, and we love each other.
That's it.
Yeah. Love will clean a lot of things up.
I'm trying to tell you, man. So now we came to a common ground. Let's move on.
Yeah. Love will clean a lot of things up.
We got over that one. What do we got?
Okay.
Who's up over now?
I think this one a little light. This is what I got for you. Do you believe living in love is a... Wait a minute. I didn't finish my question.
Thank you.
But I'm finna finish
God
the phrase.
Good boy.
Because I don't know what made me stop.
I do.
So do you believe in love? I believe now. I'm not quite certain, but I believe my question was: do you believe living in love is just? I don't know, dog. You might get off the hook.
Let's move on.
I don't know how. I stopped writing your question. Oh, man.
Shoot one up there. You got one. This one's going to make it good. Improvisation.
In the concept of living in love, right?
Living in love.
Do you think, as individuals, what is the impact living in love and playing on not just relationships, say with a significant other, what does the impact of living in love and play on the whole makeup of a person? You understand what I'm saying?
No, and I want to specify the question before I try to answer it.
To the theme of if I go through life living in love, right?
Right.
Is it, this is probably where my question was born, Rick. Is it a benefit, or is it, let me find the right word. Is it just practical?
Is it practical?
No. Is it beneficial, or am I doing it just because it's practical?
You can't love out of practicality.
But this is what I'm asking, because a lot of people will tell you, I love you.
No.
And it's from a practical standpoint. So that's what I'm saying to you. Is living and loving synonymous? That was the question.
Is living and loving
synonymous? That was my question.
I thought God had.
That was my question.
He got it, though. He got it.
Yeah, he got it.
Is living and loving synonymous? I would have to say yes. And I'm going to say yes because apart from love, you can never experience life. From my opinion. You can breathe, you can exist, you can take up space, you can act, you can go through a daily routine. But living doesn't happen apart from love. Now, an important thing I think we should all remember, keep posted, just put a sticky note on your forehead. I would say more synonymous with love would be pain. And it sounds negative, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Love hurts. At some point or another, anything you love genuinely will hurt at some point or another. That only solidifies your love. Because it's going to determine what you do with that pain. It's going to determine how that relationship goes from, let's put it this way, you have a friendship, not even a boyfriend, girlfriend thing, not a marriage, not a family relationship, just a friendship. If you never have any conflict in that love, in that relationship, in that friendship, any strife, you don't know what that friendship is about. You don't know the strength of that friendship. It's good. It's easy to say I love when there ain't no hardness or no conflict that comes with that. That's easy. It's easy to love. You love everybody. If the world never had conflict, we would all love everybody. It's never a problem. The problem with love is conflict. It's pain. How do I handle that? What do I do with that? Human nature tells us when someone hurt you, just like your mama raised you when they hit you,
You hit them back.
And make sure they remember who they hit. Don't hit them. They don't want to hit you no. That's not love. You can't survive in love with that mentality. By the same token, you shouldn't take abuse, because that means that you're not receiving love. You can give all the love you want, but that doesn't mean you ain't receiving the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think love and life are synonymous, but just be willing or understand, learn how to handle conflict, or another word, pain in them, because it's coming. And it's coming from everybody you love. I don't think, if we sit here and be honest, anybody we love up to this point, outside of your kids, if they're young enough, probably have experienced some level of pain or some level of conflict within that relationship. And in dealing with that, you realize how much you love that person, or maybe how much they love you.
Yeah, I totally agree, because what I hear you saying, and what I ultimately believe in myself, is love is strengthened through pain.
Yeah. How else will you know what it is?
The only way for love to get better is to go through something. If not, it's just going to stay stagnant. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about it, you just don't overnight just say, I love a person just because they look good or they cook good. You have to fall out with them to understand, oh, I must be really like them.
I took that.
Yeah. That's when you recognize you love somebody.
And that thing, though, this is what drives me bananas when looking at how people look at relationships. Me included, up to a certain point. You will spend X amount of years with a person and claim and profess and feel like you'll jump off the rooftop screaming, I love this person. But the moment they cross that line, it turns to hate.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to put it. You're thinking about how much I don't want to talk to you, how much I don't want you next to me, what I do to you. If you do one more thing in this moment, it's on. But at the end of the day, it's like all of that comes from you not wanting to deal with the conflict.
Yeah.
Address the problem, because I love you. I really know that. The fact that you got me, if you didn't love them, at the first time a conflict arises, you out.
Yeah.
I ain't dealing with you no more. I ain't dealing with that. I ain't got to deal with that.
And you ain't going to have no feelings about it.
I'm done.
I'm done.
So a person who can say, and that's where I was going with relationships, a person who can jump in and out of relationships at the first moment and feel justified, ain't no love in that.
No.
Ain't no love in that when you can walk away and you just walk away scot-free and you good and it's on to the next. Because I'm doing me. Yeah, well, you love you, but then again, you don't.
So I mean, that just shows the strength of love.
Yeah.
Love is so strong that it can drive you to hate a person.
It's the most powerful entity that we will ever come into understanding of, because it's synonymous with God.
There you go. Yeah. More than anything, that's what it's known. Like you say, the pain of it is true, but at the end of the day, the powerful and the impact of love is a direct correlation to God.
Look, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, if you believe the story, that's love.
Yeah.
It don't get no purer than that. Look at what I went through for you. Out of love. That's the only reason. I ain't gained nothing. I was good where I was at. Wherever I came from, however I got here, I was good. I came here and I did all of this for you. Period. Where we going?
We're
getting
going
off of me now.
Yeah, you ready to get it off of me.
Yeah, we're going to the bone chilling truth now.
I'm ready.
We're moving to the bone
chilling. Yeah, you only got like 20 minutes.
Hey,
yeah, you got lucky, isn't it?
Give me strength, Lord.
See, you going first, you want me to go ahead? I got it. I got your
Not
question.
You got my question.
I got your question. I don't know what happened with your question. I'm going right into it. Like T did me. Do you find logic to be the ultimate truth?
Ooh. Ooh.
If not, would you relate to be the what would you relate to be the ultimate understanding of truth? If so, if you do believe it is, elaborate on why.
You're going to have to break that down. I'm with you. I'm going to stand up with you. We're going to have to break that one down. That's a lot.
Okay, just take the top. Let's take the top. Do you believe logic to be the ultimate truth? Okay. Mm. And I ask this question because I really want to know for myself. Right. I have a problem with logic.
What is logic?
It's the reasoning for understanding things.
The reasoning
that leads to a conclusion.
So I take that to mean my logic may not be your logic.
Exactly.
So basically the question is, do I feel as if my logic is true?
Logic itself.
No, logic itself. Not you. Because then I know the answer to that. Because you know the word logic is thrown around, and when I say logic, I'm automatically putting it out there as if you get logic.
Right.
Everybody gets logic.
Everybody gets it.
That the ultimate truth? You got to give me the bone-chilling truth here, buddy.
Well,
the bone-chilling truth.
I feel that logic is shaped by a lot of different things. Experience, our social interaction with our environment, people, all that shapes our logic. What we feel is what we think makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
My mind won't allow me.
I'm stuck.
Because what I may think is logical to me, I wholeheartedly believe is true.
Right.
What someone else may think is logical, I may completely disagree with that.
But you can't discount it.
I can't, and I'll be open to it, and I'll listen to it. But if I believe, if my opinion just totally goes against it, you can think what you want.
Okay.
You can believe what you want.
Can I help your question a little bit?
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to help your answer.
Okay.
We're going to depersonalize this. I made up a word.
I'll take it.
Ted.
Sarah.
And Anna. All right? We got
Ted, Sarah, and Anna.
Ted is in a relationship with Sarah. Married, whatever you want to call it. Sarah is out of town. Anna knows Ted. Anna knows both of them. Anna asked Ted, hey, can you help me put up a curtain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Real
yeah.
simple. Can you help me put up a curtain? Ted says, sure. It's just a curtain. Anna's out of town. Ain't no big deal. Yeah, I'm going to put a curtain with you. Come back down. Well, Anna cooks dinner, Ted chills, they eat, they talk, they listen to music, they do the curtain, they do all this.
I'm listening, though.
Ain't nothing wrong in this. Ain't nothing wrong has happened yet.
My logic?
Here we go. He already read it. Go ahead.
My logic?
Your logic.
Something wrong has already happened.
Something wrong has already happened.
The simple fact that Anna called me to put up a curtain. Why the hell does Anna need to call me to put up a curtain?
Because you live next door. You're handy. Why not?
Nah.
They love though now. You a person that love people now. Right. Why can't you put up a curtain?
I love Sarah. Apparently I love Sarah more than I love Anna. Apparently, because I'm with Sarah.
Okay, this is a bad scenario.
It's a bad scenario for me, because the logic would tell me, Anna, you're gonna have to put that rod up yourself, sweetheart. I'm sorry. If Sarah was home, I wouldn't have no problem coming over there and put that rod up for you. But I'm not going to put myself. It makes no logical sense to me.
That's why I say that logic tells all to the truth.
Makes no logical sense to me for me to put myself. Not a damn thing may happen. But let Sarah catch wind that Ted was over at Anna's house putting up a damn curtain rod and see what you got to deal with when Sarah get back. How the hell Anna couldn't put up her own damn rod?
What's your truth in this?
My truth is, in that scenario, you have a Sarah that don't trust you. And you know that. Because a Sarah that trusts you would ask you, honey, why wouldn't you just go put, it's just putting up a curtain.
Okay, she trusts you. Okay. All right. Well, then what Anna need to do is call Sarah first before she called me.
See,
Sarah. She's gone.
She got a cell phone.
That's all this boils down to is trust. But at the end of the day, you use your logic to make a decision.
My truth
and it went against everything that a person of another logic who has no reason to believe anything other than I'm going to help a friend do something and she showed her appreciation by cooking dinner. Just I put up a curtain, she cooked, we sat down, we talked, I went home, that was that. Yeah, but you never let it happen because you never witnessed.
I don't let it happen. That don't equal. It's not
that's
equal.
That's where logic comes into truth.
It don't equal.
Sarah
was the one with Ted. Anna is the one that needed curb for us.
Sarah's logic took your logic.
I took Sarah's logic.
No. Sarah's logic took your logic. Because if you thought Sarah trusted you, it wouldn't have been a problem. If Sarah let you know she trusted you, you wouldn't have had an issue. Your mind would have never went there. But the fact that Sarah has let you know already that she don't trust you, now I know this woman don't trust me. This is her logic. Whether she got a valid reason or not.
I'm inclined to look at it from a different perspective.
What is that?
That Sarah may trust me. Sarah may not trust Anna.
It don't matter who you come in contact with if she trusts you. It does not matter who you come in contact with if she trusts you. Nah, argue that.
You stuck in me. But that's logic for you.
You can have 50 Sarahs butt naked. If she trusts you, she ain't worried about that. Because he ain't going to touch
her. See, beast logic is?
Mm, that's logic.
And that's why I always say I don't deal with logic to each other.
Nah,
logic is up to interpretation.
It's up to interpretation.
And you took her interpretation, not your own.
But I took her interpretation for my well-being.
No, I am me. I have to let you know who I am. My logic says when I go put up this curtain, all I'm doing is putting up this curtain.
Nah, bro.
Why not?
It may just be a curtain rod. It may just be a curtain. It may just be that. But insecurity, which is in us all, I might get myself messed up with this, but especially in women, I'm not going to put myself in that situation for Sarah. I'm not going to do that.
I disagree. I know women who in this same scenario would have no problem with it, whether they're in town or not, and I ain't questioning you when I come back. You say you was pulling up the curtain rod. If I don't see no problem laying around.
How the hell would Sarah even know?
How would Sarah know what?
That you went to Anna and put up a curtain rod.
You the one who didn't do it. I ain't even finished
the question. I'm just saying, if you go over there and you put up a curtain rod and Sarah got no problem, how would Sarah even know?
No, I didn't finish my question. You jumped and said no from the get. We didn't know whether Sarah would know or not. You went immediately into no.
But what you're saying is Sarah won't have no problem with me going over to Anna and putting
up
a rod.
If she trusts you.
If she trusts me, she won't. How would she even know? Who going to tell Sarah?
Why you can't?
Nah, man. I ain't doing it. I'm just not going to go put up the rock. I'm just not going to do it. I just never get back. Hey, you obviously you ain't had no curtains up this long. You can wait until Sarah get back.
That's logic.
That's logic.
You can wait until Sarah get back, and then I have no problem coming. Cook dinner for everybody.
That's logic, but ain't no love in that.
Love? No, I love Sarah.
You can love them both. Different ways. Ain't nothing wrong with me putting up your curtain. I've done nothing wrong.
Okay, so I need more detail in your question or your scenario.
Listen.
So if Ted, I'm gonna stop putting myself.
Yeah,
in. I ain't in this.
Yeah, you're right.
I put myself in.
That's what logic
does. But I'm gonna take myself out. If
Ted, Sarah, and Emma.
Right. So if Ted, Sarah, and Anna are all cool, everybody cool, we done hung out before, me and Anna done hung out before, me and Sarah, we all three done hung out before, then you're right. I have no problem with that. But If it ain't that like that, and we ain't the three amigos, then no, I'm not gonna put myself in that situation. I'm not gonna. I don't care if you're my neighbor. I can see you every day and speak to you. I'm not gonna put myself in that situation to go over there and allow my head to be put in a situation where it can be interpreted wrong.
Now, what's your logic behind that?
I want my house to be okay.
How does she present a threat to your house?
She is somebody other than who I live with.
You understand your logic is making no sense right now.
True. It makes plenty of sense to me.
Yeah, it's your logic.
It's my logic.
See that?
But it's not making a bit of sense to me right now. Because this woman is not threatening your house by asking you to do her.
But do you realize, homeboy,
I'm with you. Go ahead. I'm here.
Homeboy, do you realize the situation you would be putting yourself in? Okay, because we didn't specify.
If that's the case, though, you put yourself in the same situation going to the grocery store, going to work. Going to the mall.
Anywhere
you go with
Anna, don't work at the grocery store. Anna don't work at the mall. Now,
and
I
ain't got to be Anna.
If Anna there, and I go there every day, then yeah. Yeah. Then Sarah need to keep an eye on me or Anna, or not both of us.
No.
You have to be careful. And I think this is where a lot of young men are insecure.
We gotta go.
Trying to get back to your question.
Hey, I like this. I like this.
I think we've already answered his question.
I think we have.
This is where logic comes in and grades the area because it's up for interpretation. But, on the other hand, how can I ever find truth if I don't use the senses God gave me?
That's why, for me, when I look at logic being the ultimate truth, I don't believe it is, because I think it's individualistic.
Mm.
Logic, period.
Mm.
I believe God is the ultimate truth. And that's why I don't deal with logic so much, because what I know and what I understand may be totally different from you. So logically, we ain't going to come to the same point.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean we won't come to an understanding. So logic is not the ultimate truth for me. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. But logic is useful.
Yeah, it can, but it's I don't want to equate it to religion, but it can get to that muddy of water because it's so much interpretation. Just in y'all conversation here.
At the end of the day, when something don't, this scenario you can make sense out of. I see your point, but I also see where I was trying to bring
other facts. I understand.
You can make sense out of it.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a situation that just does not, there's no way you can put sense into this whatsoever. You went to put it in the curtain and you coming out with your pants on.
Yeah.
You can't make sense out of that.
Ain't no lie.
No, you can make sense out of that.
How?
Because you shouldn't have put yourself in this situation in the first place.
No.
You shouldn't have gone over there to put up no rod, because there was only one rod Anna was worried about.
Ball logic is going to trump, because this is the problem.
In his scenario, in his world, yeah, it is. But where I'm going is, you cannot make someone believe a logical explanation for why you're coming out of there with your pants on. You can't. So therefore, logic plays no role in that.
Yeah. Logic should have told you not to go over there.
He's stuck on that.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's what it would tell you. Me, on the other hand, I don't know how I would handle that. And I'm being honest.
No, you said how you would handle it. You don't got no problem. If Sarah trusts Ted, then Ted shouldn't have no problem going in there and putting up the curtain rod.
No, I just brought a different side of the argument. I didn't personalize it. I depersonalized it by using the other people's names.
But you say you were going to help me. You ain't helped me.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
But you did.
Because you came to the answer through our argument.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Well, hey, I'll get my next question. Come on.
Okay.
My next question, bro, tell them the truth. What the hell is wrong with going to Albuquerque, Rock? Nah. Okay. Let me throw one out here. I gotta jump on stage. In dealing with logic.
Dealing with logic.
Yeah, because this is a good conversation. In dealing with logic, are you more inclined when your logic doesn't line up with the other person's truth?
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you lean on?
Say it one more time.
Okay. We have logic, mm-hmm. and you have your reasons why you believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. Now, when every sign in your mind and your logic is pointing one direction, but the other person across the table is standing here and ready to put their life on the line and tell you it's going in another direction. It didn't happen that way. I understand why you feel that way, but it didn't happen that way. Does logic weigh more than trust? I guess that's the way to put the question. Mm.
Does logic outweigh trust?
Yes.
That's a good question, too. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because trust can sometimes be misguided, that's a double-edged sword, man.
Yeah, you just thought it.
That's a double-edged sword.
And you only got 1 minute.
I know, right? Because logic itself is up for interpretation. Someone else's truth.
Someone's trust?
That's what I'm going to say. Not my truth. Let's say it's your truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to your interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's your logic. Because you have to make the decision on which way you're going to go.
That's a situational thing, I would have to say.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to say this before the end of the
election.
Because you ain't getting off the hook.
And I don't have enough time to go into the answer that I probably going to say.
All right. Well, we enjoyed it. We got 15 seconds. We'll see y'all on the next show. I'll see y'all on the next show.
We got a minute. You know, hold on, bro. Slow down.
Oh, we'll answer the question.
Listen. All right. He ain't got enough time to answer.
I don't have enough time to answer.
We do have enough time to close.
To wrap up the show.
But we will bring it back in the note of the next show. We'll do that.
We're going to continue this.
And it's logic. And it's logic and trust.
Hey, listen to this. Y'all need to call in next show, man. Help me out, man. Call in number is 718-664-9983. Again, that's 718-664-9983. I need some help. Corey attacking me.
I left that one alone. I left that one. But that was a good question. But we're going to bring it back and mm-hmm. you know next week. What is a great show as always. What you got for me before we close this thing out?
Deuces.
See you Sunday.
Well, with that being said, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. In unison, boys.
T-O-A-B-E.